This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Choose the most unusual matches. Choose the best of the WWF. Choose wrestling's biggest, smallest, and strongest. Choose Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Roddy Piper's greatest hits, and wrestling's bloopers, bleeps, and body slams. Choose George the Animal Steel. Choose the Ken Patera story. Choose the life and times of Captain Lou Albano. Choose the Hulkamania series. Choose the Ultimate Warrior. And choose Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Choose WWF World Tour, Smack and Whack'em, and UK Rampages 91, 92 and 93. Choose a journey back in time. Choose seeing your video. It's time for everyone to dust off the VCR and plug it back into the television set as we take a trip into the Colosseum Home Video Vault with your host, Rory McNamara.
And joining me today on Senior Video is my fellow special relation here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. He is the ideas man. He is Ben Locke. Ben, welcome back to the attic, sir.
Thank you for having me back again, Rory. I always feel under pressure when you and Callum call me the ideas man, because it's like, Ben, it better be good. Ben's thought of it.
Well, unlike podcast legend, I think ideas man, that's pretty much self-appointed.
Yeah, well... I don't wonder about that.
I think you voiced that upon us very early on, Ben. You live up to it every month, let it be said.
Well, you know, we got to come figure some things out of the box every now and again.
You mean about 30 seconds before we start recording an edition of The Special Relations, you mean?
That's right, yeah. Failure to prepare and all that.
Preparation, schmepperation. However, we have done some pre-prep for this show on Senior Video.
Yes,
we pretty much had to, in a way. And hopefully, Ben, this will go some way to repaying my not insignificant debts from the Villains of the Squared Circle VHS we did a few months ago.
Yeah, this isn't a spoiler warning, but this is significantly better than that.
Okay, if this one is better enough, it might well be you start owing me in the future, Mr. Locke. But let's not say things we can't take back. So this is very much my choice today on Senior Video this month, and it is Shawn Michaels' Hits from the Heartbreak Kid. So yeah, this Shawn Michaels fella, Ben, he's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll do. But I will say, Rory, and I don't know, I'm not going to spoil things too much, but, you know, not... This particular sample that we got, not the greatest time period for Shawn, apart from one or two matches, I would say.
I very much agree with that. When we get to a match in particular towards the end, I will expound on that, because once again, these matches are not in chronological order.
Oh, yes.
On both the last edition of Senior Video with Callum, where we did Undertaker, He Buries Them Alive, and indeed on the most recent edition of Special Relations, I waxed lyrical about my frustration at these matches on so many of these videos not being in chronological order. I'm not going to mention it again, I promise.
What are you guys doing here already? A little early, aren't we? Jumping the gun a little bit? Besides, how'd you know which room... Oh, I see. There's there's a chick running the camera. It's only natural she knows what room the Heartbreak Kid's in. I'll tell you what. When Colosseum Video approached me and they wanted to do this video, Shawn Michaels, Hits from the Heartbreak Kid, I was skeptical, sure, because I don't like people delving into my personal life. But then I thought, you know something? There's only one guy in the World Wrestling Federation that the WWF fans want to know about, and that's the Heartbreak Kid. And somebody has to host this video. And who could do me justice? Nobody I could think of except one. The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels. So you're going to see some of the greatest matches. I know what you're saying. Shawn, there are so many. But we've narrowed it down to a few. Singles, tags, we got them all. Why? Because the Heartbreak Kid can do it all. So now, before I slip into my babe trap here and let Colosseum Video and you fans into the fun-loving, freewheeling life of the Heartbreak Kid, we're going to start this video off with an exclusive, never-before-seen match between the Heartbreak Kid and the Hitman Bret Hart. So see ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
So Sean introduces us and he says we are a little bit on the early side. A chick is on camera duties today. His words, not mine. He says he doesn't like people delving into his private life, and I can't for the life of me think why. And as such, he is the only person who can do the job of hosting this video. He seems very pleased to be introducing us to our opening match. You'd think he's against Bret Hart or something. Oh, he is. So we kick off with Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from Fayetteville, North Carolina. So incorrectly saith Gorilla Monsoon on commentary. But after much searching of the history of WWE.com, where would we be without it? I can in fact tell that it is from Florence, South Carolina on January the 11th, 1994. Now, Benjamin, we had a bit of a chat about this one off air when you were working your way through the tape. And you just came out and said it to me. So why don't you just come out and say it to everybody else?
I think this might be the worst match I've ever seen from these two. But they don't have great chemistry to begin with, do they, Rory? Let's be honest. And
no, they don't. And it's really interesting.
And I, you know, it was very much. This is almost like the definition of a Coliseum home video. This feels like it's the end of a long tour. It's the end of a long night, and we are wrapping up, and I want to go home. That's what this match felt like to me. It was like rest holds aplenty. Mm. You know, there was no particular great offense from both either man. They were going through the motions.
No, I can't really argue with that. I thought some of Bret's arm work was vaguely on the interesting side, but it's often said, been discussed by me on these very programs. I mean, Bret is my guy, number one in my greatest WWE wrestler list. But when Bret didn't fancy it, especially house shows, Coliseum video exclusives, maybe even some TV matches, he didn't fancy it. And this was one of those here. Sean was just not at the races at all. I think he did one headlock for his entire offensive arsenal for this one.
Mm.
So as such, like, I'm actually quite glad it was only 7.5 minutes.
Well, like you say, when Bret wanted to dog it, boy, did he dog it. You know, I did make the note on commentary. I can't remember which one said it, but one of Gorilla or Stan Lane said, Diesel can go anywhere he wants to go. Indeed he can. Yeah,
all in good time. By the way,
Stan Lane, absolutely awful. That didn't help my mood, them two on commentary, to be honest. But it was just one or headlock, a bit of arm work from Bret, the five moves of doom, and then Owen comes in when Shawn tries to pile drive him, and that's your 7.5 minutes wrapped up in then one sentence bow.
Yeah, I should say this match ended when Owen interfered on Bret's behalf.
Yep,
so you know this is from very early 1994.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what the date was, so I said it's got to be like pre-Survivor Series or like January of 94, something like that.
Yeah, I must say, I originally had it pegged at late 93, roundabout Survivor Series time, but I searched and searched history of WWE.com and couldn't find it. So I dipped into 1994 and there it was. It's still before Rumble 94, of course, so the storyline here at least does make sense.
Yeah, I mean... Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's terrible. It's no, just boring.
These two couldn't have a terrible match against each other if they wanted to. And let's be honest, a bit later down the line, they probably did both want to, but that's definitely a discussion for another podcast. But it was just 7.5 minutes of these two just filling time, and they know that they're much better than that.
Mm, exactly.
Even at this stage. And as such a curious way to open the tape, I've often thought about this, that if you're focusing on an especial particular guy for these tapes, then surely you want them to win cleanly in the first match you show.
Mm.
I'd have no problem with Sean. He had plenty of jobber matches on Superstars around this time. Yes, you still get Stan Lane on commentary, but you can't win them all. Just have that 3 minutes beats a jobber. This is round about the time where he's really starting to move towards the super kick as his finishing move. So why not just use that as a little showcase on here?
Mm. And also, like, you know, the other problem you have with these tapes where, you know, you focus on one guy, you get to know their tells and their spots. So like you say, the super kick's just coming in. I don't know if you picked up on it, Rory, but Sean's headlocks are going to be a prevailing theme through this tape.
There are plenty of them, yes.
Yes.
I didn't play a Sean headlock drinking game while watching this tape. During the edit of this tape, I am not going to say, given the time period, whether or not Sean himself played the Sean headlock game when watching this tape back. You know,
yeah, not the best work from either man. I think we can leave it at that. I went two stars though, so you know.
Bringing the star rating. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you know, I dusted it out.
Another Sean would be very proud of you for bringing star ratings.
Thanks. He'd probably disagree with that one though. He'd probably tell me that, you know, like Steamboat's worse or something. He's had a match with Steamboat worse or something.
More than likely, Sean, my friend, your reputation goes before you. Let's say. Right, here we go. And this might very well be the most highly regarded match, which, to the best of my knowledge, has not been given the full play-by-play treatment here at the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. Indeed, even over in my other life at the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, we haven't broken this one down properly. Although, in my defence, it took place a full timeline year before I even joined that project. So, I am taking it upon myself to right that wrong. And as such, you're getting the full blow-by-blow from me on this one. I am, of course, talking about Razor Ramon and the 1-2-3 Kid teaming up to face Shawn Michaels and Diesel on the second ever edition of Action Zone. Rubs hands with glee. Away we go. Shawn and Diesel attack from the bell, but the faces spin them right round into an Irish whip collision. Diesel gets kicked over the top by Kid, and then Razor goes for an early Razor's Edge on Shawn, and he hits it. Wow. Michaels, though, is pulled to safety by Big Daddy Cool. That was a lightning fast start. Razor now hammers away on everybody. Then Kid catches Shawn with a quick roll up and almost gets a three. Shawn and Kid now, this will be neat. Or at least it would have been if Todd didn't call him a Power Ranger. Oh, Todd. High crossbody and then a perfect victory roll where both score near falls for the Kid. But then HBK wipes him out with a powerbomb. Diesel in and he just hurls Kid across the ring. Vince doesn't get a crash test dummy reference and nor does Kid get a sunset flip. And Diesel with a choke bomb. Everybody here bringing their version of the A-game. And yes, I include Big Sexy in that. Counter drop kick by 1-2-3. And now here is Razor. He rocks the big guy with punches and sends home a big roundhouse. Body slam for a close two. Nash though blocks a short arm clothesline and takes Ramon down with one of his own. And now finally we pause for a bit. But only a bit. Back from break and we have Michaels and Razor in. Fantastic blind tag from Shawn. He was virtually completely upside down at the time, so Nash now does what he is best at. And thankfully, we are 4 years away from the framing fucking elbow. Listen to my other work for my thoughts on that one, if I haven't already made them clear. Michaels with a stinger splash, yes, you heard me, in the corner, but Hall is out before a count of three. The heels are in control now, and Diesel with a hard whip to the buckle and a sidewalk slam. They are putting an extra 20% into everything they do here. Shawn goes up and it's his glorious and underrated elbow drop, but no victory as of yet. Tight headlock by HBK, there you go, but Razor gets out of it and then executes a backslide. Vince calls it another Razor's Edge, which is sort of right when you think about it, so I won't think about it. Great drop kick by HBK to recover, and now I forgive Vince completely, as he has just called this a seesaw matchup back and forth. The bad guys, i.e. the actual bad guys, work on the neck of the bad guy. If you follow me, Razor back to his feet, but Diesel with a flying shoulder tackle. And you had better believe I typed that one in capital letters. Shawn with the shades of Wilbur Schneider as the Kid rallies the crowd. Vince calls for a DQ for the assistance of leverage as we hit another commercial break. We return with Ramon still caught in the wrong corner and he topples over from two Shawn punches. Excellent desperation selling by Razor here. And now he gets a second wind. His punches are genuinely great. They do a brilliant double block of a hip toss attempt. Seriously, just go and watch it. And now the bad guy strikes back with that side chokeslam thing. And he gets off the hot tag. No, he doesn't, as the ref didn't see it. But behind his back, Shawn accidentally hits Diesel with a super kick. I'm sure he'll be forgiven in time. Kid is now in, and look at those kicks. HBK with a super sell over the buckles, and 1-2-3 Kid then with a beautiful cannonball. He scampers up top for a missile dropkick, but cannot secure the win. Diesel is out as Razor now with the sack of shit slam. He then uses that move to propel the Kid into Michaels, but HBK is out again. Razor goes for a side superplex, but Shawn reverses off the top and they land. But Razor spins it into a cradle for 2.9. Rocket launcher by the Kid, and again only a 2.9. Shawn tries to revive Diesel, but walks into a hard clothesline for yet another near fall. Michaels with a last gasp sleeper, but maybe he can get somewhere with it. Kid, though, has had enough and just slugs Shawn right in the mush. Both legal men are down, and now Diesel is finally starting to come too. Ray's up first and he slingshots Michaels into the ring post, but both men are down again. Kid calls for another hot tag and he gets it, heading right up top and all but killing Sean with a leg drop right on the button there. But equally right on the button was a kick by a now just about standing Diesel. Sean vaults right into the cover at warp speed, and that brings this match to a close. Ben, don't let me down on this one.
Excellent work, first of all, Roy. I think I've got to mention that.
My
first note was Sean and Diesel versus Razor Ramon on the 1-2-3 kid, or the real reason we are watching this tape. It's been about 15 years since I've listened to our last story, and it is great. I mean, the thing that strikes you first of all is just the sheer pace that they work at. You know, even Kevin Nash is working damn quick here. And and I think you mentioned it, didn't you? They don't take a rest until about 8 minutes in. They don't take a rest hold. It's unbelievable work
really
from
is
both.
All action from all four. Yeah. Incredible.
You know, I think they took the name Action Zone quite literally. I'm glad you mentioned the Razor chokeslam, because I think that is one of the most underrated moves in the business. The way, you know, he just drives the guy down. But yeah, this might sort of reminded you of the whole, like, you know, Diesel Mania thing that wasn't quite in stone at this stage. But selling Sean's super kick like death for five minutes. Took me a little out of it, if I'm being nitpicky. That's me being nitpicky, to be honest. But yeah, just great, great work from the four of them. And this whole argument of, oh, well, they're best mates, of course they're going to make each other good. Well, yeah, and people have been doing that for years. That's not a new thing.
And you've still got to do it, after all. It's not a silver bullet.
Yeah, let's be honest. There's guys who are friends outside the ring. You could have the shittest chemistry in the world inside. But absolutely, you know, absolutely fantastic match. I can't recommend this match enough. If you've not seen it for a while, just go out your way, because it is superb. I didn't like the ending. I thought that was a little bit out of nowhere, if I'm honest. But like I say, that is my only fault with it, really.
This was a match I'd heard about for many, many years before I had watched it. In fact, I think I'm right in saying I hadn't actually seen it until probably when this tape dropped on the network in early 2018. It might have been shown in edited form on Vintage Collection, if you remember that, Ben.
I think that's where I saw it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember possibly seeing it there, but I think it was cut a little bit. This would have been 2008 we got Vintage Collection over here with Mean Gene.
Yeah.
That's probably where I saw it before, but I'm pretty certain that the first time I'd seen it in its entirety was when this tape dropped on the network. And when we got the first run of Coliseum videos in early 2018, after sitting through Super Tape 1, I don't know why, this was the second one I sought out just to finally see this match. And it didn't disappoint then, and it doesn't disappoint now.
Yeah.
There is so much going on. I probably missed stuff out of my notes, and I tried to be as comprehensive as possible. Especially in the first 5 or 6 minutes, all four of them, I want to say that all four of them,
yes,
incredible clip.
Well, I made the notes about those first few minutes, and I said, I can't do play-by-play as it's too fast. So that's why I applaud you for attempting it, but you did such a good job with that. And to be fair, apart from that, those couple of wrestles in the middle, they kept the pace going. They took a little breather, about a minute breather in the middle, but fair play to them. They kept it going. I mean, like I say, you know, being nitpicky, I didn't mind that end. I didn't mind the super kick bit because they'd already done it. But it was just the Diesel selling it like death thing that annoyed me, I think.
No, that's fair enough. I think they could have, I mean, that spot was very important and would become very important again, even more so a month or so down the line, just as it was 2 months earlier. I think maybe do that a little later in the match, maybe so Diesel's selling for about just a minute or so. Because when Sean hits him with it at Survivor Series, Diesel doesn't sell it at all.
Mm.
He's rocking the corner for about 5 seconds. And whereas at SummerSlam as well, he's down forever.
I mean, thinking about it, obviously, like, you know, it was like, you know, one, two, three times, you know, when's he going to Yeah, you know, once is a mistake, twice is, you know, foolhardy and all that. So I get the story going into Survivor Series. It was just the whole, he had to lay on the, you know, and it did feel like 5 minutes where he was laying on the floor.
I think it was close to that. I'm surprised how early it was in my notes when I was reading back through them here.
But I like I say, that finish was out of nowhere, but I did like the whole, you know, just hitting that kick bit. But they could have added a bit more to the end. But that is literally, I mean, I know I'm focusing in on that, but, you know, you've got to nitpick at parts. And that is the only thing, that is the only problem I have with it, is that end sequence. Everything else about the match is great. Absolutely. Everything, like, you know, even Nash brings it.
He really does. I don't want to anyone to sleep on that. He really, if he didn't, I'd be the first person to say so. I'd be falling over myself to do it. He absolutely is in his equivalent of the red zone throughout this match. And yes, obvious reasons, but again, still got to do it.
Of course you have. You know, like we say, it's an argument with the click that I get. I understand why people make the argument, but I also don't get it at the same time. Because like you say, yeah, it's one thing, you know, being in the ring with your best mate. It's another thing having that great match.
Completely. And here, this is it. This was in my, I don't have the, it's on my old laptop. There we go. All mod cons and everything. My top 100 WWE list. Hey, it was a year and a half ago, but I did have this in the top 50. Finished fairly high in the composite list. It should have done anyway.
I haven't got my phone. It's on my old phone. That's how, you know, but I'm pretty sure I had it in my top 100. I don't think I had it that high, but
you're not going to make me plug our top 100 sharing again, are you, Ben?
No, congratulations. 10 hours, was it?
Just those two golden words, 10 hours. This match was mythical for me for many years, and it was like finding, for me, this match was the equivalent of Bret Hart versus Tom McGee.
It's up there with Bret and Owen versus the Steiners, isn't it? In that mythical, where is it, where can we find it thing.
Bret, Owen and the Steiners also made my top 100 list. That one is not on the network, much to my chagrin. Hopefully it will arrive soon, and if so, I will fast track that tape up the running order.
That's a right that needs to be wronged at some stage. Wrong that needs to be righted.
There we go.
I've been at work, people. All right, don't.
what was in that Belvita bar you were eating earlier?
Oh, well, who knows? Who knows?
A mystery best left unsolved. This was a magnificent match. It really was.
Go your way.
Do whatever you do with this tape. It's the only place on the network you can find it. Fire it up. They are all just on. I love all of the exchanges here. Kid, no, you can tell they are friends because he really stiffs both Sean and Diesel a lot in this match. And they're all fine with it as well. They should be. I love the Kid and Sean exchanges specifically. Makes me wish we could have got a longer match between those two. A couple of decent ones on Raw 93-96, but never quite got the lengthy one between them. But there's a lot here to really get your appetite satiated. Think what might have been. Razor, so glad you brought up that choke slam. Magnificent move.
It's a brilliant move. You know, it's one of those great underrated moves that, you know, doesn't get the publicity it deserves.
Punch is underrated too, I think.
And the thing you've also got to remember, like, Kid in 94 is, you know, he's a lower mid carder at best at that point. And the three of them, you know, certainly Sean and Razor are upper mid carder. I mean, Diesel's Intercontinental Champion, or just been Intercontinental Champion at that point, but they hadn't quite strapped the rocket to him, just, you know, the world title rocket. But you could tell, you know, that the Kid was very much an equal with the other three.
Oh, yeah. And he was allowed to be in this match. Again, the reasons might be obvious, but he was. He got so much offense, got to show off his fantastic selling. And just a word on the finish. You'll notice that the finish did come a little bit out of nowhere. But I love how quick Sean was just onto him in a flash for the finish when the pinfall opportunity became available. As soon as Kid hit the ground, Sean was on. And I like that.
Yeah, because I think that was sort of a thing that they could play to the story. I don't know if they did on Raw where he could say, well, yeah, I super kicked you, but we won the match.
Precisely. So, yeah, this match is all right.
Yeah, this will do. It'll do.
Small Matter of one of the 50 greatest WWE matches of all time, official, because it's my list. And everybody, you know what to do. I think we might be mentioning this one again a little bit later on.
I think we could.
If you were listening to Sean, he might beg to differ because he calls the following match one of the best of his career. Okay. I am beginning to see why he got the pull at the end of 1993. He was clearly on some pretty good gear. And he must have been for suggesting that his King of the Ring 93 match against Crush was one of the best of his career. Speaking of cuts, we get this one in its entirety, don't we, Benjamin?
We do, we do. But I didn't mind that because we got to see, because obviously this was just after Yokozuna had killed Hulkamania. And I don't know if you noticed, but the guy wearing the Hulk shirt in the front row, was he looked like he was practically crying.
Oh, well, Roddy Hogan, yeah.
So that made me smile quite.
He knows how to pick him. He was at Survivor Series 91 as well.
That Hogan is a constant disappointment.
Tell you what, one day, I wouldn't do it now. I'd have a stiff drink handy. Check out Roddy Hogan's Twitter account. But don't tell them I sent you.
Okay, I'll have a look once we've gone off air.
Anyway, this classic from the HBK pantheon.
But, you know, I mean, you say that. I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was terrible. Let's put
it
that way.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. It is. It is. It's perfectly serviceable. And I'm going to ask you now, Crusher 93, I mean, we're talking about, you know, strapping a rocket onto someone. That was, he should have been the guy, shouldn't he? Never mind Luger. He should have been the guy.
Oh, he was over enough. No question. Oh, Callum and I talked about it way back on episode one of Senior Video. 93 Crush, as inexplicable as it might be, he had the crowd behind him. Make no mistake about it.
Well, I don't know if they were, I don't know if he was going to be, you know, the guy to slam Yoko. But yeah, I picked up on it. Randy Savage makes that point three times.
Oh yeah.
About I think Crush is going to slam him. But yeah, sure. I mean the match itself, like I say, isn't terrible. You've got to remember, like, Diesel's only been around for 2 weeks, about two weeks at this point.
Oh, yeah, just joined, yeah.
So I think this might, I mean, you might remember, I think this might even be the show where he got the Diesel name, because I think he was just the bodyguard before that.
I think they call him Diesel on commentary. I want to say Sean names him on Raw the week before this, but it's very, very close to this event.
Yeah. But also, I pointed out the fact that we have got two great early 90s mullets on display with Sean and Crush.
Yes.
Them two could have a proper mullet off, I think. You know, Billy Ray Cyrus would have been proud.
Appropriate reference.
we also get a classic line from Bobby. It's a line he's used many times, but it's still great. You know, a friend in need is a friend in need is a pest, you know. It's classic Bobby, but it's so true as well. But yeah, like I say, the match isn't terrible. Crush gets off to a really good fast start. But then I love that spot on the outside where Sean's ramming Crush's head repeatedly into the ring post.
Yes,
you just don't see that enough.
No, that's lost, isn't it? Now head into the ring post, head to the buckle. Yeah, I miss him.
I understand why it's sort of downgraded with the whole concussion thing. So I understand but if you get it, you know, if you can do it safely, then yeah, bring it back somebody.
10 punches in the corner, inverted atomic drop. Oh, I'm getting all wistful now.
Sorry about that.
Continue.
Once we get back in the ring, though, we do get another Sean headlock sequence, which, you know. Now, don't get me, like I say, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the video, but 93-94 isn't Sean's best time period.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to it.
I know we're going to get to it, but, like, you know, this sort of reinforces it. Like, say that's like three matches in a row where I've seen the same rest hold the same headlock. Mm-hmm. This match ain't that long. About 10 minutes, isn't it? About 10.
I've got to say, obviously, it's not. A criticism was not intended as such. When I was watching this on tape, I thought this match felt very long indeed. And I've seen King of the Ring 93 countless times, but this felt pushing 20.
Mm. And then I quite like the finish with Doink, but I'm an unashamed Doink mark. So
like the best of us.
You know, so I kind of like that, the whole distraction thing. And then, like we said in the last match, like, switching music's only just been, you know, turned into his finisher. So, you know, doing the shot to the back of the head and then hitting the ring post. Yeah, that was fine. I was absolutely fine with this. It's a perfectly functional 10-minute pay-per-view match. And I know people might, think that Shawn Michaels shouldn't be having perfectly functional 10-minute pay-per-view matches. But in 93... he wasn't the Shawn that we know and love from 3 years later, ten years later.
This was his level at this point. Now, he was all about the selling, which is fine. No, he's a heel champion. And when you can sell as well as Shawn could, easily in 1993, his best trait, then just having him do that for 10 minutes, you're halfway there already, if not more than that. And he can bounce around for somebody limited like Crush. Job done in that regard. But watching it now with modern eyes, you can just see that Crush had nothing in his offensive tank at all. His barrel was empty in the first 30 seconds. Shawn did his very best to fling away around that, but it became a struggle. I think that's why the match felt so long for me. Shawn had very little to bump off.
I think, like you say, like he had those moments at the beginning of the match. You know, he hit them two or three drop kicks into you, and the tilt the wheel backbreaker always looks great. But after that, you know, like I say, he should have been the guy in '93, and I think that was the very reason they turned him heel. It's like they never made him the guy, and B, why they turned him heel, because you know his face offense is just so boring. At times,
he was just zero there at all. The finish probably sounded quite a good idea. Bobby, of course, did his best to help by calling the two doinks an illusion, which, of course, it was.
Of course, it was.
Crush was so horribly out of position, he had to walk forward a couple of steps to bash himself off the buckle after the super kick to the back of the head. Somebody else actually does that finish in a better way later on, as we'll talk about. Crush really boned that one. And worst of all, Ben, we don't get Shawn's intro interview before this match, King of the Ring 93, where he outright buries Hogan on the way out, calling him a dinosaur.
That is tremendous.
Not here, sadly. Luckily, these days, it's very easy to find, but I was pulling for that one, but it was edited out.
Bring us some bit things back that, you know, we want that. Not necessarily what other repeats we got.
In this match, Shawn did what he could, but in every sense of that phrase. To this point, maybe not enough. But shall we move forward to the next pay-per-view? Oh, it's this match at the next pay-per-view, Ben.
It is this match.
Shawn versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam 1993. Mr. Lock, it is not the first time you have talked about this match within these four walls. And we were talking about the old copy and paste a bit earlier, but I shall ask you nevertheless, have your opinions changed any, having watched it isolated from the rest of a supposed chicken salad-worthy event?
So like Rory said, this marks a first for me. This was the first match I have already seen for Place to Be, and I'd already reviewed. So my notes I copied and pasted, but I did watch it again. It's still not great. It's still not great without. And I think you mentioned in the last match, you know, Shawn being such a great seller and Mr. Perfect's such a great seller, but
that's
you know
the problem.
That's the problem. The chemistry is just not there. You know, now the guy on offense is that great. You know, and we're talking about, everybody says this is a dream matchup, but we've already mentioned time periods with Shawn. You can mention time periods with Mr. Perfect. If this would be like I say, 96 Shawn versus 89 Mr. Perfect, then we're in that dream match territory, but 89, 90 Mr. Perfect, sorry. But we're not. We're in 1993. So Perfect's, you know, on the way down. Shawn's on the way up, but neither guy are near that level where they were, and it's very noticeable in this match. Like Shawn's so out of shape; those trousers are so high up, and I've got no room to fat shame somebody. But if I'm in a match like, and it's one of the biggest matches on the second biggest pay per view of the year, you better believe I'm getting in shape for that. Mm-hmm. And like I say, and it doesn't help with like. You know, Vince calling it a dream match and, you know, the build-up. They could, you know, I hate it when the company, when any wrestling company calls something a dream match, because I think that puts way too much pressure on the guys involved.
That as well. I totally agree, but also I don't trust the WWF to really know what a dream match is.
Yeah.
Their definition of it is probably a long way from most fans.
It's like, you think back to last year, that Edge Orton match, you know, the greatest match ever. Yeah, you know, I honestly think somebody said that tongue in cheek in a meeting, and Vince or Bruce Pritchard said, "We'll have that."
Well, it had the word wrestling in it, so I doubt it was Vince. I like that match. I think they work hard in that one anyway. It's too long, but they put in a good effort. They were.
Yeah. This match is perfectly fine. It's the second best match we've seen so far tonight. Let's be honest, out of the four. Mm-hmm.
No question.
But it's nowhere. It's not even at a good level for me. It's at a just above average level.
Yeah, whenever I watch this match, because I do like SummerSlam 93, I don't think it's chicken salad worthy.
Don't worry. We gave Logan plenty of stick for picking.
I heard, and quite rightly so. Although it did birth a chicken salad meme, which still exists to this day, so I can't complain too vociferously about that. Even infiltrated the special relations at one point, didn't it? A true legend. Yeah, this match, I try to isolate myself from the hype whenever I watch it. So much like Be Here Now, Ben, in a reference I'm sure you'll understand. Yes. When you turn your head away from all of that and you just take what is being given to you, it's not that bad. Now, this match isn't quite magic pie worthy, is there? It's probably round about My Big Mouth level quality-wise. Girl in the Dirty Shirt, that sort of thing.
I think that's quite a good frame of reference. Like, you know, even for our American friends, you know, we took our Be Here Now, it's an Oasis album.
Be Here Now got to number two in the States. It was a huge, the biggest album there.
Okay. So, you know, and I think that's actually quite a good way of putting it. You know, take all the hype away from it. And like I say, it's, I might be being a bit unfair saying it's just above average. I think I could bump it up to good.
Yeah, I think good. It's, especially again, the first couple of minutes, they've got some potentially interesting stuff going on, but they don't have the means to carry it through.
Yeah, because like we say, they're just great sellers. They're not great, mm-hmm. you know, offense merchants. And Sean certainly isn't at this point. Mr. Perfect never has. And I would argue Mr. Perfect never has been. His thing's always been like the offense and, you know, sorry, not the offense. It's always been the sell, mm-hmm. you know, and the body and the facial mannerisms.
It just ends. As well, it feels like they had a 25-minute match booked, and for whatever reason, they lost every page of the script after page four, and it just comes to a conclusion. Perfect hits the post, and that's it.
Yeah, because like that bit at the end, the beatdown, like Diesel doesn't really even do that much. Like you say, they literally just set him into a post, and that's it.
It's pretty weak. Pretty weak.
Like at least give me like you know. Perfect hitting the perfect plex, and then Diesel does something.
That would be better.
Because I know they have that bit. Yeah, they have the bit when Perfect goes to the outside, where Diesel drags him outside from the perfect plex. But you know, do something while Perfect's in the move. You know, that's the whole point of the move, is he's in position. You know, he holds that position, isn't it? So it's not like he's going to go anywhere.
No, completely. I almost would have just written the perfect plex out of it if they were just going to do the finish here.
Yeah,
and that was it's just a weird one.
I actually made the note when we were doing it for Chicken Salad, because it was third, you know, it was placed third on the show, and I was like, even at that stage, that seemed a bit weird to me. Like this so-called dream great matches third on the
card. Yeah, it's as if they got cold feet, and I think they probably did.
It's not a semi-main event. It's not opening the show. It's not even like the mid-card anchor. It's third.
Yeah, they just probably wanted to get it out the way as quickly as they could after that. And it is a shame, because there are hints in this match. There really are. But I don't think it could have been much better than it was, because it's selling versus selling. I keep saying it, but it's true.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of Perfect's AWA work, so there might be some people, or headache, I should say, in that regard. So the poison pen letters might be written as we speak, and I can take them. I have people to open them for me.
He's a podcast legend. He's got, you know, he's got minions.
I have people doing all sorts of things for me. Offensively Perfect, never his game. Never his game. And I think that's why part of the reason, this is a discussion for another podcast, but what, again, racking him up, I want to do lots of podcasts, but why he never really worked as a face. And in fairness, his babyface turn was very hurried, and it was all down to circumstance, of course. I understand that. But he never really tried to adapt his style in 92-93, and I think that's part of the problem. And here, this match probably couldn't be any better than it was, but it's not a complete write-off.
No,
the intrigue and fascination factors at least keep your eyes on it, if perhaps not much else does.
Like, we're being Debbie Downers on it, but I think we're doing that because we want it to be want it to be that dream matchup, and it never is.
No, it never.
It never even threatens it. They start off okay, but they're running on third gear. We're never hitting the high spots.
No, we're not. I can't think of a more disappointing match in WWE history off the top of my head. I was trying to do that before we came up on air. I mean, if somebody put a gun to my head, there's a long list. If somebody put a gun to my head and asked what this would be my pick. Any other ones coming to mind?
Yeah, I'm just having a wee think now.
Disappointing,
actually.
Not necessarily outright bad. Maybe Orton Triple H from 25, perhaps.
Yeah, that'd be up there. I'm just trying to think about like anti chemistry. I think you could put sort of. You've got me on the spot here.
Maybe some of the Rock Undertaker matches.
Yeah, they never. Yeah, Rock Undertaker from No Way Out.
They just never clicked.
Yes.
No Way Out 2002. That was yes.
Yes.
I'm getting there fairly close. Maybe you'll do that one day as well. I'm not too far from No Way Out 02. That's
going to
be a classic on the 20 Years Ago podcast. That one.
I'm thinking like some of I'm trying to think of something like from Punk's title reign, like some of them, like even Punk Del Rio never.
Could that have been much better with Alberto Del Rio?
Well, at that point in 2011, it could have been. Well, that's just clicked my brain. Miz versus Cena from WrestleMania 27.
There you go. Good call. Yep.
You know, that's a case of two perfectly good wrestlers, and you know, Cena at that point could have a three-star match in his sleep.
But somebody nearly went to sleep in the early going of that match.
Yes. Yeah.
This proved a theory. Also discussed on Chicken Salad, everybody.
Yeah, I'm keep plugging all my podcasts here.
Well played, Sean. Sean? Well played, Ben. It's Chicken Salad and it's low stars for matches. It's easy to do, isn't it?
Don't let him hear you say that, okay?
So, Savage Steamboat. No. The real thing's bad enough. Let's get back to this tape. The other Sean is now safely ensconced in his hotel room, adorned with mirrors, as you could well expect. And now he throws to a match with a pre-psychopath, as he calls him, Bob Backlund. And yes, this is from before the previous match, as JR's commentary makes painfully clear. Ah, dear. The SummerSlam Spectacular is where this match comes from, to be precise. Referee Bill Alfonso gets distracted, and this allowed HBK to very deliberately grab the tights and get the cheap win. Ben, 1993 Bob Backlund. Definitely not 1994 Bob Backlund.
Oh my God, he is so bad. So bad. So can I plug yet another episode of Chicken Salad, Rory, if that's okay?
One more's not going to hurt much more.
So we've also done WrestleMania 9, and you know he has that match with Razor Ramon.
Nine's
okay.
I thought you were very fair on that show to WrestleMania.
Thanks, mate. But Backlund versus Razor is absolutely. I'm going to swear, Rory. I apologize. Is absolutely fucking awful. And so
I'm with you on that one.
And so is this. Backlund's like lame late 70s, early 80s offense worked back then. It made him champion. But in 1993, no, it's not doing anything for me. I love the fact as well that the company. I'm not saying that they're half-arsing this tape, but. Not only is it from the SummerSlam Spectacular, it's from the WWF Mania It must have been on the week after. Because
yes, that's what. Yeah, they took it from there. That we even get the Mania break on against them. Yeah,
shortly. Yeah, yeah. So like, that's a nice touch right there. We get more Gorilla Monsoon on play-by-play, which on color commentary, sorry, which is just so depressing. But yeah, this is just terrible, mate. I said it in the group chat that, you know, am I going to be the only guy who would rate a Shawn Michaels match 1 star? And yes, I am, apparently.
This is, if it's going to be any, well, there might be another contender very shortly, but at least for now, this one's going to struggle to get any higher. Now, there is a reason, a very clear reason, why at WrestleMania 9, babyface Bob Backlund was booed over heel Razor Ramon.
Oh, and I forgot to mention as well, I made a note of it. That roll-up finish was absolutely terrible.
Oh, just drag. Utter drag. Drags the show down. Yeah, this was bad. This was so bad. And I just, whenever I watch Bob Backlund from 1993, two things just blow my mind. Number one, if you watch some of the early Raws, there's a fan about 4 or 5 rows back, or about 5, 6, 7 of those Raws in a Bob Backlund t-shirt going absolutely crazy for him. Crazy being the operative word. And just a year after this, Bob Backlund was the number one heel in the company and bloody deserved to be as well. He was phenomenally ace at it. Yet to get there, we had to suffer through this. Now, look where the world was in 1993. If Howdy Doody wasn't anachronistic in 1978, he sure as fucking hell was in 1993. I still don't know why. I don't know why they did it. I don't think they had his heel turn planned at this point, or even remotely close to it.
No. I mean, like,
nobody
like
could
said,
adapt
like...
to his style. He had no. I do like a lot of Backlund, but I'm going to say here, he made no attempt to help anybody adapt to his style as well. That's the real issue.
He didn't help anybody, and he didn't help himself by not changing.
Completely.
That was his main problem. And because, let's be fair, when he does turn heel, you know, the offense doesn't go, so you know, he doesn't suddenly become like mid-90s, like, you know, super worker, does he? It's just the you know, the psych, you know, I'm going to use Sean, what Sean said, like the psychopath nature.
And that, putting the chicken wing over as the most devastating move in history helped as well.
Yeah. You know, it's like that whole thing, you know, that thing Foley says, doesn't he, about great heels, the heel's got to believe everything he says. And
correct.
Backlund using big words to prove that he's better than everybody else and having that killer move.
I'm actually a tiny bit surprised, albeit not disappointed, that they didn't push out a Bob Backlund tape around about this time. we got on here for Sean, and he was a heel when this tape was issued in February 95. I wouldn't say I'm complaining, but it would be one of the more esoteric choices for Senior Video, if such a thing existed.
Well, you know, you're allowed to pick, Rory, you know, that's the whole point when you're the host.
I'll get to them all eventually, trust me, they'll all be done. German fan favourites, grudge match, in the next 6 years I'll have I'd be baying the more to be added.
Yeah, you'll be like, this was a good idea at the time, but now.
I'm not picking the next one next month or the month after. So who knows what holds I'll be brought forward. Lap of the gods. Yeah, very bad match here. But Levin slightly by. I wasn't expecting to be anything because this is 93, Sean, and I will make my points on that in a few matches' time, I promise. But Backlund, no assistance whatsoever. That stupid dance, that stupid towel, stupid no music. stupid, if you will.
But yeah, I mean, like you say, it is 93, Sean, but I do think like he gets none of the blame for this. I think it's all on Backlund in his style.
This time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Backlund just gave and took nothing.
Exactly.
The results were what they were. Now, Kamala, do me a lemon. This one is from Raw. We'll go back in time again, but I'm not going to mention that one. 28th of June, 1993. The commentary team are mainly concerned with what will happen on board the USS Intrepid 6 days later. As if anybody will be able to slam Yokozuna anyway. That's just crazy talk. As mentioned, the same finish as at King of the Ring 93. And it hasn't got any better with age. Ben, good luck.
Thanks, mate. So here's my first thing. You just said about, you know, not having things in sequence, and I'm with you on that. But if we're talking Raw matches from 93 alone, I can think of, you know, the either of the Jannetty matches could be on this.
Yeah,
tape.
But they're conspicuous by their absence here, aren't they?
Yeah, and even I understand why, because he was not out of the company at this point. He was working for WCW, but even that Lumberjack match, which with Duggan, could have been on here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind that one. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm not saying it's great, by the way, but, you know, it's compared to this and the last match we got to see. But, you know, this is what we get. No. I mean, the first thing I noticed, I don't know if you've probably seen these things. I you keep reading these things about, you know, Raw's looking like they were taped from a high school gym. And I was like, is that just what people were saying, or, you know, I can't really remember that. But watching this back, mate, I was like, yeah, this is just a gymnasium, this show. Like, literally, the, you know, when the commentators are sat, there's literally five rows behind them. And if this was the kind of matches that we get, no wonder they were only getting, like, these smaller crowds, given them this shit.
Yeah, business wasn't good.
But, you know, I mean, We talk about guys with 70s and 80s offense, but, you know, Kamala offers nothing. He offers even less than Backlund, if anything.
I want to say there's a Backlund-Kamala match out there from around this time period.
That would be tremendous to watch. Just everybody shaking over there.
I might well have made it up. What you know, I need to get myself checked if I did. Talking about not knowing what a dream match is.
But, you know, we get the usual dreary Kamala spots, you know, like patting the belly the whole thing about, oh, he doesn't know what way to. I mean, you're telling me he's had however many matches in his career, even in kayfabe, and he doesn't know how to roll a guy over yet. He still needs somebody to tell him to do that.
Yeah, it's very similar to trying to watch back a lot of adorable Adrian Adonis matches from 86, 87. Just very uncomfortable to sit through these days.
Yeah.
And when you have Heenan, I love Heenan, who doesn't, but on commentary, when he's saying that Kamala wants to chop Sean up and put him in a pot, and all the rubbing of the belly, and that he doesn't understand how to pin somebody, the inferences are all too clear in 2021, I'm afraid. And it's not good to watch back. It's really, really not.
The final note I made about the match is, let's be diplomatic and say it was a clash of styles.
Well, we said that in the last match. I think we need to try to find another angle if we can.
Oh, damn it. I think you could go with the time frame. Like I say, Kamala is like straight out of 1983. Sean is the wrestler of the 90s, however you want to phrase that.
Shall we say they're two wrestlers going in different directions? Shall we settle for that?
Yes, that sounds reasonable to me.
But another contender for worst match.
We could say there about a few matches tonight, to be fair.
We most definitely could. But maybe not this one. It is introduced, though, by Shawn Michaels being in the bath, and I am very sorry to report it isn't a very deep one. He talks about the fruits of his labor, and indeed, you can pretty much see them. He then stumbles over his words. I doubt he's the only one, as he introduces a contest from a completely live Raw on August the 1st, 1994. Yes, the first one since the steroid trial. Savage gets in as many references to it as he can throughout the broadcast, but Vince no-sells them all. You know, deep down, Vince wanted to cheer along with him, but ever the pro. You could just, especially at the, I'll talk about it in a second, but at the beginning of this Raw, you can see Vince's face bristle, and Savage is pointing at the camera. Not guilty, not guilty. You know Vince wants to explode, but he manages to just maintain professionalism. Well, despite all of that, Savage was, of course, gone 3 months later, so he probably wishes he had been a little less kind. Anyway, this match, it's HBK's first meaningful contest since the ladder match, and it's a long one, getting two commercial breaks before Diesel Fearance's enough to Sean to nab a three count. Over at the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, we live watched this entire Raw as part of the celebrations for our fifth anniversary in August 2018. So if you want my blow-by-blow thoughts on this match, do check that one out. I'm on there with Chris Lacey and Billy Johnson. So, Ben, straight over to you. What have you got for this one?
Thanks, mate. So, first of all, I want to say it had more action in the first minute than either of the previous two matches put together. Mm-hmm. So that was quite, that was a great thing. So I have seen this match three times. I've seen it on the Raw, the beginning tape, on the network, and then here today. And yeah, it's just really good. Like you say, it's really good, really long. You know, Sean's first proper match back for three, four months at this point.
Since the ladder match, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. I couldn't remember where the trial references were coming from.
So
now I know. I was like, now it all makes sense to me. I was like, yeah, because Savage just goes in on it all
watch
the time.
Watch the whole edition of Raw. It is incessant.
Like you say, Vince laughs it off to begin with and then just totally no-sells it after, which is great. I don't know if you picked up on it. I found it really interesting. Like, it felt to me like Shaw was wrestling almost as a face during this match.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there was quite a few spots where, you know, where Razor was in control. Razor was, you know, doing all his high impact stuff. And Shawn, like we said in the Perfect match, was selling it all like a champ. This was an occasion as well where I loved the finish because it was so smooth.
They didn't miss a beat on that finish.
That finish is superb. If you've not seen this match for a while, just go back and watch that. Like the timing of all three guys,
inch perfect.
Razor, Sean, and Diesel. It absolutely, you know, it's a great, great match. You know, really good TV match. I think it was like the first match of that particular Raw. Like Rory says, it goes like over two breaks. I want to say it's about 20 minutes. Rory, am I right about that?
Yeah, about 20 minutes. Yeah.
But in this case, compared to this King of the Ring match, this was 20 minutes that felt like 10.
Very much like, so.
Yeah, it was really good. And like we said before, you know, matches like this, I know he's wrestling his mates again, but matches like this make you look at Razor and go, you know, again, why didn't we push you to the moon as well?
He was bloody good. He really was.
He really was. I'm going to cheap plug another podcast I'm on. You know, we're on Highway to the Impact Zone. We're right there where, you know, the Kings of Wrestling and then all that's going on. And that version of Scott Hall, and, you know, just 10 years later from this version, they might as well be two different people.
Yeah, don't spoil it now.
But no, I really, really enjoyed this match. Yes, really enjoyed it.
It's really, really good. And this is the Shawn match for me. The ladder match could have been a fluke or a happy accident. No, it was neither of those things. Really, believe me, it was not either of those things. But especially in the moment, you could have interpreted it as either of those. But after that, Shawn goes away, heals some injuries. Diesel's wingman for many months. And this is his first match back. And this, for me, then, is where it really begins for HBK. The run from here all the way to WrestleMania 14, a run that stands alongside that of any other worker before or since, begins here. When you look what he was doing in 93 at so much of this tape, and you see him here, that is two different wrestlers in a way. You go ahead.
I was going to say, I absolutely agree with you because you'll know better than me. Like he was just resting, wasn't he? There was no particular big injury after the ladder match. He just took bits
here and there, yeah.
Yeah, and you could tell like he was getting himself into, you know, he's recharging the batteries, getting himself into shape, helping his mate out, you know, helping his mate elevate himself up the card. And the difference between, you know, this Sean that we saw then in the show from a year ago, it's night and day. It's absolute night and day.
Completely. He's dropped probably about 20 pounds worth here. He's added so much more offense, especially in the first 4 or 5 minutes. So much more interesting to watch. His moves just mean a lot more. His selling is still great, but he times it. He almost has levels of selling, and he only goes to level one when level one is required. When it's level three, he's not just the Super Bowl, is what I'm trying to say.
His selling is
mannered and timed exactly when it needs to be. Facial expressions tremendous. Timing, top notch.
They're going quick. Well, obviously, they're not going as quick as they did in the tag match. But like you say, they know when to slow it down. They know when to speed it up. It's not just that one-dimensional pacing.
Interactions, fantastic. It's just quite staggering, really, when you just look. But I'm just looking through my match list now, what we had in 93, and you wouldn't know. You really wouldn't know. And I do, in the unlikely event that any young wrestlers are listening to this program, from their perspective, try to get into it, that there is... Sean has obviously been around for many years at this point, but if you realise and take it upon yourself, you think things aren't working, hopefully you will be given the time to improve on them. Now, Sean was very fortunate that he was, because teacher's pet and all of that. But say what you will about Sean backstage at this time, I will gladly join you. I've read things in the Tortured Observer for Wrestling 20 that will make your teeth itch, believe me. But you cannot watch Sean from 1993 and watch this Sean from August 94 and tell me that he hasn't put in supreme effort to improve in every facet of pro wrestling.
I'm not saying Shawn Michaels is bad or whatever, but I think it's revisionist history, isn't it? Everybody says, he does the barbershop thing in January of 92, and then all of a sudden he's a great worker. It genuinely takes 2 years to this. You know, like you say, we're at this point now where, you know, he could still go one of two ways, couldn't he?
This could have just been a one-off as well. Again, working with a click member, settle back.
Yeah, you could argue he's only had really good to great matches with members of the click and Bret Hart at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Martel match at SummerSlam, depending on your feeling.
That's all right.
Yeah, but yeah, the point we're making is, you know, like, Shawn Michaels isn't Shawn the super worker I'd argue it's a little bit further than this. I'd say 95. 95 is when he sort of hits that beat. This is building to that. And then we get 95, 96, and then, you know, we get the character work in 97, really, you know, before the quote unquote injuries take over. and then the very real injury of 98.
we'll give him that one. Yeah, you're probably right. From when he turns babyface the day after WrestleMania 11, that's when we're really off to the races, to steal a phrase from an inferior podcast.
But I would also say, like, this match, WrestleMania 10, and the tag match that we've already talked about, they are the three matches where you could go, you know, if you're watching backstage, you go, yeah, he's going to be our guy. Yeah. And you could totally understand why they would say that as well.
Like I said, Vince clearly wanted Sean to be his guy, but probably didn't have enough proof that he could really latch onto to make it so. Here, he had that in his back pocket too.
Yeah. You know, they'd already decided that Nash was going to be the guy.
And oh, God, I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. But, you know, every great face needs it. You know, Holmes always needs his Moriarty, doesn't he? And something like that.
His offense is very limited, 92, 93. And his selling is there, but he doesn't quite do it at all the right times. And it's phenomenal. The leap from 93 to 94 is staggering, but he did it. And 94 onwards really does speak for itself.
Absolutely.
But we finish with a rather curious choice. We go back to White Plains in September 94, where the Action Zone tag match was taped, as well as the Undertaker Jerry Lawler casket match we discussed last month. And it's another exclusive, meaning that, Ben, you finally get to see Tatanka. Now I know why you were so keen to agree to do this one. He teams up with HBK and Diesel to face the Smoking Guns, and at this point, sadly, the charred remains of Lex Luger. It's Diesel Fearance yet again. If I make it the fourth time on this tape, so they probably could have made it. Sean pins Billy. There again, I did write it down. Sean at least ends his own tape by pinning Billy. I put all my effort into the proper tag match. Sean at least ends his own tape by pinning Billy again after no little help from Diesel. Ben, another odd choice, just bookending these videos with bizarre decisions to stick on them.
Again, I'm going to sound like a repeat myself from what I said about Bret Shawn earlier on, but this again felt like the end of a very long taping night.
I would just say, if you go and check history of WWE.com, you check the White Plains taping, September 30th, I think it is, 1994. Okay. It is monolithic. It doesn't matter what laptop you're using, you will not be able to fit all the matches on one screen.
Like this,
it was a mammoth taping.
This definitely feels like, end, you know, like say end of the night, like we don't give a shit. We are literally going through the motions. And there's enough talent there between the six of them where going through the motion still means a very, you know, passable average match, but it's as generic a six-man tag as you can get. I'm glad you mentioned Lex. I did make the note. Oh God, it's the Rebel Lex Luger. I totally forgot about that. The Rebel, the Renegade Lex Luger.
It was called, his name was actually called the Rebel Rack at this point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I blocked that from my memory. So I was like,
I know that because it's called the Rebel Rack on WrestleMania, the arcade game.
Okay. I was so thankful for Stan Lane for bringing that back to my head.
Like, Stan Lane again.
Oh, I'm not just picking on the guy, but he is so bad. We talk about like Michael Cole, that guy who was on Raw for a couple of weeks now. And like, compared to Stan Lane.
Oh, he's dreadful.
But like, yeah. Stan and Gorilla do not mix the commentary team. I think that's a fair and reasonable point to make.
Like, vintage team.
No. Was Johnny Polo still around at this point? Could he not have like dropped in with Uncle Gorilla?
Johnny Polo would gone by this point. He's Raven in January 95.
Yes, yeah, I know it was 95 when he got turned as Raven, but
because didn't DiBiase install it? Written up with DiBiase, he just gave him loads of money and he walked off camera during. I think it was actually, it might have been around this time.
I also like the fact, like, you know, DiBiase is quite clearly somewhere else, and they're like, yeah, they've got a cover for that,
of course.
But yeah, like I say, it's all right. You know, you stick it on, you think, yeah, you know, if it was on like Raw or SmackDown today, you'd be like, yeah, it's all right. But not exactly going to make you go and, you know, you're going to be rushing out to watch it. Let's put it that way.
And Sean is barely in this match as well. That makes it all the more bizarre. He's only really there for the finish. I just don't know what their thinking processes were, or even if they had them. Also at this taping, you had the first big Action Zone main event, which was Bret versus Owen, which is on the Ever Will Be DVD, which is from a pared down version of WrestleMania 10. And let's face it,
I will say this, like, we got Action Zone over here, and that was, for the first few months, that was a bloody good show. Pettingill on commentary aside.
Yes. Come to take a bite out of slime. <He's> just... Yeah, because Bret Owen, Action Zone 1, you had the tag match we talked about earlier, Action Zone 2. I remember you have some pretty decent, feature match. Like, I want to say Owen was a match at some point a bit later on.
Well, they did the thing of, like, they focused on one, you know, they had one marquee match, like Star vs. Star, and then they had the jobber matches after that. But the other thing was they'd give the marquee match the time, which is obviously a good or a bad thing.
Oh,
like, so Owen Brett got a load of time, so did the tag match. But I seem to recall, like, Mabel, I can't remember who he was facing. He was facing somebody, like, reasonably okay, but it was still, like, Mabel for 15 minutes, you know what I mean? It was no, stop it.
Well, if they ever get round to uploading the Action Zones to the network or Peacock, then we can find out then. I'm on tenterhooks. I won't sleep no matter how long it takes. My eyes will be on stalks until I find out who Mabel was against in that match on Action Zone late 94.
Sorry about that, everybody. Like, you know, I'm giving you all a cliffhanger now.
done. Yeah, this match was fine. It was just the wrong choice for this tape. That's all. End of the taping. Maybe it's a meta joke. End of the taping, but end of the tape. But I've given them far too much credit to even suggest that.
Well, even right, you're going out of order. So even if you go, like, you're going out of order, just put the tag, just swap the tag match here. You know, build it up to the end of the tape.
Yeah. Just, I don't understand.
You're running, you're running totally out of sequence anyway, so you're not going to be doing, it's not any, you're not losing anything by doing that.
Do not understand. Don't want to, even though I mention it every fucking month. Let's cut back to HBK for the final time. He emerges from the bath to make a terrible pun about smoking and then says his video showcased, and I quote, the greatest single life, and take that how you will, on God's on God's green earth. Ah, there it is. He made us wait for On God's Green Earth, but there he is, right,
yeah,
at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Andy Williams doing Moon River. Bam, second encore.
He nearly got away with it, but he dragged us back in. But I will say this, like, you know, that was Sean's room in the hotel. Like, who's going to clean up after him?
Oh my God, who would want to?
I mean, like, they've got some stories to tell.
Yeah, there'd be some reports to the porter that morning, I tell you.
You'll never guess what I found.
I think he or she probably could, but anyway, let's leave that one for the birds and the past. And Sean's third book that ever comes along. Let's wrap up this tape, shall we? Hits from the Heartbreak Kid. Benjamin, what is our rewind of this VHS? Our best match or moment? I think I know where you're going.
I think it's safe to say it's a tag.
One of the best WWF matches of all time.
Yeah, the Razor match is a lot closer, you know, than you'd actually think, if that makes sense.
No, that's right. I think on most tapes I do for this project, the Razor match wouldn't be too far off winning this category. But it's a match that made me tongue-tied and does every time I watch it. Now, this one's going to be fun, though. What is our fast forward, our worst match or moments?
Okay, so it's going to be... it's going to be the Backlund match, I think. And I'm going to go with that because, you know, with Kamala, like, the skill level just isn't there. And it's never been there. Yeah, whereas with Bob, at least, you know, you expect more.
Yeah, I just hate 93 Backlund so much. And I feel a little bit sorry for Kamala watching back these days. So Backlund match almost takes it by default. It was so, so bad and unforgivably so. Right, where are you going with this, I wonder? And I genuinely am concerned, really. But rules are rules. It's our pause, our most striking visual. I'm ready to mute you if required, Ben.
I was going to say it's the... I know what you're thinking of what I'm going to say, but I'm going to keep it clean, Rory. I'm going to keep it clean and go for a wrestling moment, if that's all right with you.
It's more than all right.
And it's the ending to the Razor Sean match. Like I say, the timing involved was superb from all three.
Very good call and a very relieving one as well. I'm actually going to go for the very end, and I didn't talk about it in my notes, of the click tag match, where it's Diesel and Sean mugging for the camera, both completely spent, showing the full excesses of the 20 minutes of action. But there they are. That's the team to beat. Yes. Mm. Backstage, it would be almost as hard to do so, and it would be out front. But those two together, almost, you know, I'm going to say it, they're an underrated tag team as well.
Yeah, I think they really are. Six-man tag, I can't remember if it was Stan or Gorilla said it, like, you know, none of the teams have got a chance against these two. They're going to be keeping the belt for a very, very long time. It's like, well, Stan knows something.
Party to all the hot goss. And our final award, because there's no need for a video star here, very simply HBK himself, as it should be. But where does this tape rank? Is it the very best we can get on these shows, i.e. is it a buy? Is it the second best, i.e. is it a rent? Is it in tier 3, i.e. a bargain bin? Or is it down there in tier 4, an avoid, a wipe? Where are we going and why?
I would go with a rent, because you get the tag. You get the tag and you get the Razor match, but you also get those two Drossy Raw matches and the pay-per-view repeats. But if it was available at a reasonable cost, like, you know, £2 or £3/$, then I am buying that bad boy.
Yeah, I can see where you're going right on the line on that. I just wish there had been one other...
Yes. Yeah, one other
very good match on here. We didn't get it. There was a pretty big chasm between the quality. And I know there's a huge drain factor because you've got one of my top 50 matches of all time on this tape. Mm-hmm. Even if you remove that one and see it as an outlier and you just take the Sean Razor match as your high watermark, you're heading off a bit of a cliff to get anywhere close to that on this tape. Then where are you then? Sean Perfect, maybe?
That's it. That's my issue with it. So, you know, if it had been like an hour tape and they'd kept those two matches in it, it's an easy buy. But unfortunately, it's a two-hour show with a couple of matches from pay-per-view that we've already seen and aren't that great to begin with.
Yeah.
And then that other dross from, you know, Backlund and Kamala. And even the Brett match, you know, like I say, is
I actually forgot about that match. Fucking
well, that's how bland and boring that match is that we forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Genuinely forgot that was on this tape. We only talked about it an hour and 15 ago. Brett and Sean, for crying out loud.
But like we said at that time, their chemistry wasn't great for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. I can think of one or two. Yeah, I'm going to go for a rent, and that's probably the biggest letdown I've given for a rent on this tape. You've got one of the greatest matches in the history of the company, in my opinion. You've got another extremely good one, but then look at how wide the gap is in between.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there just to service it. You really notice that, I'm afraid. And the unevenness of how the matches are put together on here, the fact they're not in chronological order, there I go again, couldn't resist it. I mean, it's only a rent. But it does contain toss-up between this and Bret and Flair from Smack and Whack'em, the best match we're ever going to cover in the course of this project. So
I got to see them both.
You did? There you go. See, is the slate wiped clean now, Ben?
Yes.
I'm
going to be that guy. If you're going to ask me, like, of the two matches, I'm going with Flair and Bret every time. I think it's just my personal preference to those two gentlemen.
A worthy choice that I cannot dispute too highly. As I said on that show, our second episode of Senior Video, I didn't vote for that in my top 100 of the GWE, and I really, really should have done. If I had, it would have been interesting to see how close it would have been to the click tag in my list. Again, I think it probably would have made the top 50, but Sailor B. Maybe we'll get another chance to revote one day. Yeah. At least I've covered the two best matches and I'm gonna say the whole of this section.
And if we do get to do them again and reveal our match listings, we'll try and do it in 5 hours.
A mere 5 hours. Yeah, let's be sensible for a change.
Yeah. We've learned a lesson.
To the relief of everybody. I should say I'm very, very strict when it comes to timing our shows now every month, everybody. I'm always there, hurrying them along, shutting down segments, and I do it all for you.
Just cut Ben's waffle as much as we can.
Hey, Ben, people like Angry Lock these days.
I know, tell me about it.
I think we've got a bit of it on this programme, thanks to Mr. Backlund. Anyway. But Ben, that wraps up another tape on Senior Video. Why don't you tell the wrestle-crazed youngsters what else you've got going on here on the network and elsewhere?
Okay, so first of all, you can get me on Twitter if you want to, at BenL1981. There's also a special relations Twitter feed that we all look after, which is at PTBNSpecialRel1. Speaking of anniversaries and things, there's a couple of big anniversaries coming up for me. It's 1 year of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. We are doing a special live watch of WCW Great American Bash 99. That'll be quote unquote interesting.
Oh, you're in for a treat there, I promise you. Oh, baby, that's a rough one.
Also, it's the 1 year anniversary of Highway to the Impact Zone. I was on the latest episode of that with Jake and Logan. Because there was only the three of us on, we live watched the two episodes of Impact, and we're heading to Against All Odds 2005. And also, I'll plug very quickly because it's come out today as we're recording this on the Pop feed. I am on the 1 year anniversary of Piece of the Action. It's another group watch. We are watching Die Hard with a Vengeance. So it's me, Matt, Logan, Sean, and Jenny Smith. And that's it from me.
Excellente. You can hear me on the Special Relations, as mentioned earlier, every month here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. And away from here on the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast. Two shows for May 2001 that should be in the hopper as we speak. Show number one, where I team up with Daniel DeWitt to look at Insurrection 01, and then with Devinda Vargas on episode two, where we take in Judgment Day, all the TBs, the Spike Molly stuff, where you are duty bound to go R2 if you listen along with us. And also, just a week's time, the Indie 20 Years Ago podcast will be making its debut. June the 5th is the date for your diary there. I shall be back next month with another senior video. Chris Lacey making the return, and it's his pick. But for now, Ben, one more time, thank you so much for joining me today, mate.
Thank you yet again for having me. Always a blast when I'm here.
Always a pleasure to have you on, and you'll be back on again soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely, if you'll have me.
maybe I'll let you pick.
Oh, how benevolent. from a podcast legend, I would expect nothing less.
Benevolent to a fault, I would say, Ben. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening to this. I'll be back, as I say, next month. But for now, Shawn Michaels, Hits from the Heartbreak Kid. I have seen your video, and I'll see you all next month.